We hear from Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of them both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This story of an interrupted meal opens a window on the heart. Let us look inside the hearts of those that we find here. Firstly, let us look inside the heart of the seeker. And that seeker is a woman with a past. We do not know her name, but she is unlikely to have been Mary Magdalene. This is a different account to similar gospel stories. We do not know her name, and we do not know her story. All that we know is that she had a bad reputation. Others had made their own conclusions and were sitting in judgment upon her. And she has heard on the grapevine that Jesus is nearby, and she desires to see him. She is a seeker, like Zacchaeus, whose story we heard this morning. She is drawn to Jesus. And the door to Simon the Pharisee's house is open. And it was not unusual for strangers to drop in. Their culture did not have private spaces as we understand them in our culture today. But she enters the house as an unwelcome guest. And her arrival in the room must have caused a stir. Who let her in? Why is she here? What does she want? She is given no voice in the account. Yet her actions tell us everything. With great boldness, she comes towards Jesus. But she comes not with, as we would come to somebody's house, with a gift of chocolates or a bottle for the host, but with the very gift of herself, the gift of her love. She doesn't have very much, many resources, only a small but perhaps costly vial of perfume, perhaps an instrument of her employment. Yet she breaks it open and anoints the feet of Jesus, who is reclining at the table. She holds nothing back, not even her tears. Her tears mixed with perfume, her penitence mixed with adoration. And Jesus does not turn her away. Jesus accepts her sacrifice and devotion. In this beautiful yet provocative demonstration, we see inside the heart of this woman, inside the heart of the seeker. And it is a warm heart. And secondly, we see inside the heart of Simon the Pharisee. Simon is shocked and appalled at this scene which unfolds at his dinner party. We see inside his heart as he mutters to himself about the woman and Jesus. He despises the woman and her actions, and he worries for Jesus' reputation as a rabbi. For a genuine, upstanding rabbi and prophet would surely not allow himself to be contaminated and made ritually unclean by such a sinful woman touching him. Again, echoes of the critics of Zacchaeus here. So sweet perfume fills the air, but bitter scorn fills the room. You see, Simon's heart is one that is ruled by the law. Correct codes of behavior must be observed at all times. In one way, we could say that Simon is practicing the false cold religion denounced by Jeremiah in our reading. Rules and regulations must be followed to the letter of the law. Separation from sinners avoids contamination, which avoids sin, which avoids judgment and its consequences. And this leads to superiority and dominance. It focuses on self rather than others, on respectability rather than compassion. He has a holier-than-thou attitude. But is Simon perfect? Simon, we are told, has overlooked the basic gestures of hospitality. He offers Jesus no welcome kiss, no water, and no oil, a lukewarm reception. You see, Simon also, with that woman, stands in need of forgiveness and grace. But his pride leaves no room for humility. When we look inside of Simon the Pharisee, we see a cold heart. And then thirdly and lastly, we see inside the heart of Jesus, the Saviour. He alone can see into all hearts. He sees inside the heart of the woman. He sees inside the heart of Simon. And Jesus confronts Simon's pride and prejudice. And he does so with the parable. A moneylender has two men in his debt. One owed him, let us say, £20,000, and the other £2,000. Neither of them could pay him, so he wrote off the debts of both. So Simon, which one of them will love him more? Simon knows the answer, but does he get the message? The woman gave so much to Jesus because she realized that she had much need of forgiveness. She didn't need other people to tell her. She knew what was in her heart. And she came to Jesus because she knew that he was the one who could meet that need and offer that new start, that clean slate. And so Jesus recognized her faith and sent her on her way with a word of forgiveness and peace. We see inside the Saviour's heart that it is one for the lost and the least. When we look inside the heart of Jesus, we see that it is an open heart. Looking into the hearts of these makes us look into our own heart this evening. And we know there are many sides to our heart. But Jesus sees right inside. From him, no secrets are hidden. All desires are known. It has been said, the soul is dyed the colour of its secret thoughts. The soul is dyed the colour of its secret thoughts. It may be dyed with the colour of hope or the colour of fear. It may be dyed with the colour of love or hate, of generosity or greed, of discontent or peace. Jesus sees inside our heart. He sees our true colour. Can we recognise ourselves in this story? Like the woman in the story, we too are a seeker after God. We know our past. We know our constant need for his mercy and grace. And we know that Jesus is the answer. We too are drawn to Jesus. And Jesus welcomes us. He forgives us. He loves us. Could we mirror this woman's response? Her example of faith and of total inhibited devotion is an inspiration to us this evening. But do we also recognize something of Simon within us? Is there some of the coldness of Simon in our heart? Like him, are we sometimes too quick to judge or condemn or look down on others? Do we secretly despise someone else's devotion? Do we sometimes forget just how great our own debt is to God? And if we've realized it, would our love and gratitude be less regulated and more spontaneous and exuberant? Could the love of God melt our heart? We can have the heart of Jesus. For our Lord's example of openness is one we can follow. With him, we are challenged to exclude no one. And how good it was this morning in our Ability Sunday service when we welcomed Lantern, who led us in such a wonderful way. We exclude no one. We must be slow to judge, but quick in speaking words of peace and forgiveness. Like Jesus, we can have an open heart. So this evening, we have opened a window on the heart. We have looked inside the hearts of the seeker, the Pharisee, and the Lord Jesus. May we yield our hearts to him. May we open our hearts to those who need us in this week ahead. And as his guests, as we take our place at his table tonight, may the bread and wine be a foretaste of that heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen.